Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning as we gather. It's a little cold, it's a little damp, but it is wonderful in here as we are surrounded by the love of our sisters and brothers, and more importantly, surrounded by the love of God, who we've come to give prayer and praise and thanksgiving. It's good that you are with us, whether you're joining us here in church or you're joining us online. Being part of God's family is always a wonderful thing. Next week is Reformation Sunday. That's Sunday when we remember the beginning of the Reformation as Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses and all kinds of things like that. And for next Sunday, we are encouraged to wear red. I was thinking about that, and I think that that's a little bit better than encouraging all of you to get the monk's tonsure as your haircut for next week. But please join us for our celebration of Reformation. I also received a little bit of information. If any of you have been wondering about Joy Baker, a former member here who now lives up in the Toledo area, she's in the hospital, and she will be in the hospital for at least another week for further testing and observation. So she's all right, but still being tested, and that's as much information as any of us have. And so please just keep Joy in your prayers. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I know that you'll take a chance to read through it. We've gathered this morning so that we might be in worship together. So let us continue that worship. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, raise your throne in our hearts. Created by you, let us live in your image. Created for you, let us act for your glory. Redeemed by you, let us give you what is yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first lesson this morning is from the 45th chapter of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and our Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he answered them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" And they answered, "The emperor's." And then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a trick question. It's a question that was meant to trip Jesus up. This question was intended to give his enemies some traction against him, so that while Jesus is there in Jerusalem, they might finally be rid of all of that difficulty that he brings. It's a trick question. But Jesus doesn't fall for the trick. Today's conversation in Matthew's gospel comes on the heels of all of the parables that we have been listening to in recent weeks. The chief priests, the elders of the people, and some Pharisees had confronted Jesus about his authority to do things. And Jesus had responded with all of those parables. But now the chief priests and the elders have taken their leave, and a new group of Pharisees, along with some Herodians, arrive, and Matthew tells us that it is their intention to entrap Jesus. Now, the question that they ask Jesus isn't really about the separation of church and state. Rather, it is a way for the Pharisees to get Jesus to say something that will alienate him from one group or another. The actual question truly is, does it work within the Torah to pay this tax to the emperor? You see, there were some who believe that since all authority is derived by God, that paying the tax is an all right thing. But there were others who believed that paying the tax means that we are relying too much on human authority and not trusting in God, so we should never do it. So the Pharisees and the Herodians are trying to get Jesus to alienate either one of those groups, either the ones who pay the tax or the ones who don't like the tax. And then in an added bonus, depending on how Jesus answered the question, he might bring the wrath of Rome right down on him as well. This is a win-win-win kind of question. You see, this group of people, along with the chief priests, along with the elders, these Pharisees and many others had already decided that Jesus should die. And what they're looking for are ways and excuses to make that happen. And so this question was actually a major ploy for them to try to bring Jesus down. Jesus does not play their game or take their bait. Jesus understands what they're up to, and for that, Jesus calls them hypocrites, people showing two faces. They come with compliments and sweet tones, "Teacher, we know that you teach really well," and then they quietly and quickly stick in the knife. Jesus then asks them, "Show me the coin that you pay this tax with." Now, this is the Roman census tax that they're talking about, and it had to be paid with a Roman coin. And on that Roman coin was engraved the face of the emperor. Now, according to the Torah, Even the first of their commandments, you shall have no graven image. Make no graven image. The mitzvot for the Pharisees themselves, where you were never supposed to be in the temple proper with a graven image. And yet somehow or another, someone reaches into their purse and there's the coin with the emperor's face graved right on there. Once again, showing to the world their own hypocrisy. Jesus then asks them, whose image is on that coin? And they answer, it is the emperor's. And then this is when Jesus gives his answer. But it's an answer that gives the Pharisees and the Herodians no opportunity to come after Jesus. Because Jesus tells them, go ahead and give to the emperor the things that belong to the emperor. If it's his face and his title that give that coin its value, and he wants some of them back, then give it back. But then Jesus ups the ante. And as Jesus ups the ante, he gives us all an answer that we can ponder and that we are called to live up to. After telling them to give the emperor what belongs to the emperors, Jesus then says, and give to God what belongs to God. Jesus knew that they were trying to trap him into answering a question that would alienate someone. And Jesus chose to answer that question in a way that will inspire us all. What is God's? Now, is that a statement or a question? My good Lutheran answer is yes. Right? Because for me, it starts out as a question that will lead me and lead all of us to eventually make a statement in our lives and in our living. As we answer the question, what is God's? We come up with all sorts of things that will help us to make a statement in love. Jesus was hoping that the Pharisees, the Herodians, along with the crowds that were around him and his disciples and even you and me will begin pondering, what is God's? Now, as the Almighty Creator that we confess to week in and week out, all creation belongs to God. The earth and the air, the sea and the sky, plants and animals, microbes and insects, and every single human being. All these things are God's, belong to God. So is Jesus saying that what we really need to do is amp up the sacrificial system and give to God all of the animals and plants that belong to God? No, I don't think so. You see, when Jesus answered the Pharisees' question, he said, whose image is on the coin? So then let us continue that question now. Where is it that we find God's image? It's us. We humans were created in God's own image so that all that we have and all that we are belong to God. This is what Jesus is leading us to ponder. How can we give to God what belongs to God? Now, the Pharisees believed that that's exactly what they were doing as they followed their 613 rules they discovered in the Torah and called their mitzvot. They had read the Torah. They had discovered all of the things that God was trying to demand of them. And they were living their lives to sort of bring that glory to God, to hasten the coming of the Messiah, to help their neighbors do the same. But you see, that's where the problem arises. As the Pharisees make their lists and check them twice, they will also point fingers and accuse. They will cast out and shun all who fail to join their zealous piety. They forget the true commandments of God, which is love God and love your neighbor. And instead, they count steps and they measure tassels and they watch people wash their hands or eat, and then they judge who's in and who's out. For Jesus, Giving to God what is God's is to discover ways to bring the message of forgiveness, life, and salvation that God pours down on us all. How do we bring that message to the people all around us? For Jesus, that message is for the good ones and the bad ones, the happy ones, the sad ones, the pious ones, the impious ones. God's love is meant to change lives, not with washed hands or dishes, but with light and life, with love and care shared by all of us. God has changed our lives with grace. Jesus has lived a life that shows us how that grace can be shared, and we are called upon to give to God what is God's. As we wake up every morning, we are called to ask God to help us love our neighbors and to give the things back to God that are God's, to share the forgiveness, the life, and the salvation that are ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Pharisees had wanted to trick Jesus into making an answer that would alienate people. Jesus took that effort and used it to inspire God's people, to inspire God's people to ponder God's gifts, and then to share those gifts any way that we can. Jesus was attempting to show us what creation can be like when we all try to make God's dream a reality. And when we truly give to God what is God's. Amen. Please rise. And in celebration of our baptism, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life. Amen. Trusting in the transformative power of God's loving Spirit, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Faithful God, your Spirit animates the church throughout the world and binds believers near and far into the body of Christ. Equip us for the work of faith and enlarge our hearts for the labor of love. Lord, in your mercy. Creating God, the sea roars, the earth rejoices, and the heavens are glad at the wonder of all you have made. Bless the work of all those who safeguard the riches of creation. Lord, in your mercy. Sovereign God, you rule and authority as your rule and authority is over the cosmos. As you once worked through the ruler Cyrus for the good of your people, accomplish your purposes through the work of elected leaders and public servants. Guide them with your wisdom and compassion. Lord, in your mercy. Caring God, your arms enfold all who are lonely, oppressed, despairing, sick, and suffering. Pour out your abundant mercy on all whom this world has neglected, abandoned, and forgotten, so that they may know your joy. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, there are so many people who need your healing presence. We pray for all those who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these who are known to us who need your wholeness and your healing. We pray for Stephanie, Sharla, Joy, Darlene, Judith, Juanita, Judy, and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, all our life belongs to you. When earthly idols threaten to lead your church astray, remind us that you alone are the source of our eternal hope. Direct the work of church treasurers, councils, and all who manage financial matters. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting God, the saints of every age have sung your praise and shared your word. We give you thanks for their witness and pray that we may join them as citizens of your unending kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your unending love and amazing grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus loves you, and in the power of that love, I bid you now come to his table of grace.
Thank you.
Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ fills us with strength. We are also sent out into the world in love and service. And so together we pray, we give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope your week is filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Rising of the sun goes down, let the name of the Lord be praised. From the rising of the sun till the sun goes down, let the name of the Lord be praised. We gather to worship, we come in a choir to sing your praise, lifting our voices.
Be praised from the rising.